a Bible, would you please raise your hands? We are going through Matthew chapter by chapter, verse by verse through Matthew, and we are, God willing, finishing up the Sermon on the Mount today, the most well-known, famous, some would say most powerful message Jesus ever gave. This transformed the lives of countless tens of millions of people. And I tell you, it's my job to seek the Lord to continue the work that he's been doing for 2,000 years through these words. We're going to be again in verse 13. We're going to go all the way to the end of the chapter. This is Jesus speaking. There are thousands of people who are listening to him. And he says, enter by the narrow gate. Verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads you to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Meaning there are many who go to destruction by it, by the broad road, by the wide road. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, and the Holy Spirit this morning is telling you, by your fruits, you will be known. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus speaking, remember, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Verse 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Father, I thank you for this word. I think often, as I say often, you didn't create this wonderful world with, wow, this morning, what a beautiful morning, Lord, just with the snow coming down, extraordinary, Lord, your world. And you didn't create it and then leave it up to our best guess to figure out who you are. You sent your son so we could get to know you in the most specific way. Not only seeing what he did, but also hearing him. And Lord, it's my prayer that I can present your word in a way that does not misrepresent your heart, but rather, Lord, just pray. Lord, that I can share it in such a way that it cuts the heart. Starting with mine. But everyone here, Lord, I pray also for the folks on live stream. And pray, Lord, that we will leave this place, this worship, this morning, that we'll leave here changed and worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. So again, verse 13, Jesus says, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, meaning broad is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. And we discussed last week, we discussed how did we ever get to the place where the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is saying, is talking like this. He's talking like this. He's saying, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, some translation that leads to hell. How on earth did we get here? And so, we started last week in Genesis, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but to finish out this message today, we just need to remember where we were last week. How was it that we got to this place that the Son of God is saying such a stark, almost shocking thing? Broad is the road that leads to destruction. And there are many, meaning the road is packed. Narrow is the gate. And difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Well, we started off in Genesis 3. The Lord so loved you and me and man and woman. It says in Genesis 2, he made a garden. And how I would love to be in that garden. Every June, I'm in the Amazon, and I see a garden that it's almost breathtaking just walking through that garden in the Amazon. It's like, God, I can't believe the beauty here. Well, he loved you so much. He loved man so much. He made a garden. We know it as the Garden of Eden. He placed man there, woman, and said, enjoy. It's all yours. But he said, except for one fruit. From one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat that fruit. If you do, you will die. God was very specific. So in Genesis 3, verse 1, the serpent, we know the serpent is Satan. From Revelation, we know that this is Satan. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? To which she said, yeah, he did say that. He did say that. Could I have it again, John? No, if I could have the previous one. And she said, he did say that. He said that there is a tree that we're not allowed to eat from. He put us in this garden. Said, it's all yours. Enjoy. Enjoy. It's all yours. But there's one tree, the fruit of which he said, don't eat. And so then Satan responded to her and said this. He said, you will not surely die. Why did he say that? Because she had told Satan, yeah, there is a fruit. And God said, if we eat this fruit, we're going to die. And he said, no, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. God's trying to ruin your time. He's a killjoy. He knows that in the day that you eat of that fruit, your eye will be open and you will be like God. Listen, you can be like God. And some of you have this view of God right now, even as I'm speaking. God's a killjoy. He's in the business of taking away my joy. And you believe the lie that says, no, you can be like God. You can decide what's right or wrong. And so she liked what she heard. And it says she took of that fruit, she gave it to Adam. And he took of the fruit too. Now, if you work for a company and you let it be known, including the CEO of the company, I know that you're the CEO of this company and you want it run in a certain way, but I'm going to run it in the way that I want. Well, I would say with the CEO, that's a pretty serious thing. You're going to get fired. But when you do that to the God of the universe, I know you're God. I know you want to run the world in a certain way, but I'm going to run it in the way that I want. That's a far more serious thing. And that's the understatement of the millennium. And so Adam and Eve, they rebelled in that way, and the problem is that it became a part of their spiritual DNA. By that I mean their children and their children's children and their children's children's children and so forth all had that rebellion lodged in their soul. I know you're God. I know you want to run the world in a certain way, but I'm going to run it in the way that I want. And what was the result? The very thing that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 7:13. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. That's how we got to Matthew 7. By Genesis chapter 6, again, we read this. We read, can we have that, John? It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then what happened next? Destruction. What did Jesus say? Again, Matthew 7. He was just painting a picture that had been around for thousands of years. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. That's what happened next. Judgment, the judgment of a holy God. Genesis 6:17 says this. This is God speaking, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. I myself am bringing floodwaters. They were the floodwaters of judgment. And so we talked about this last week. Noah and his family were saved from the floodwaters in the ark. But within 10 generations, by Genesis chapter 12, the world was back in the same place. Why? It had that same spiritual DNA. It hadn't left. It was lodged in the soul of man. I know you're God. I know you want to run the world in a certain way, but I'm going to run it in the way that I want. And so man continued on that broad road that leads to destruction. Only this time in Genesis 12, the Lord, rather than initiating a plan of judgment, as he did in Genesis 6 with the flood, he initiated a plan of salvation. He would send a Savior into the world. He'd do it through the nation of Israel. Genesis 12 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, I'll make you a great nation, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Meaning in you, meaning in one of your descendants, through one of your descendants, every family of the earth shall be blessed. You know, in the book of Revelation, we learn that God will save people out of every tongue, tribe, and nation, every single family, meaning every race, every community of people. So he said that he would, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The New Testament translation of that is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall be taken off of that broad road that leads to destruction. They will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. Everlasting life. So God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should be saved from that wide road that leads to destruction. They would rather have everlasting life. So Jesus says what? He says and later on in the book of John, I am the gate. In Matthew 7, he says, narrow is the gate. Enter the narrow gate. He says in Matthew 7:13, not a suggestion. It's a command. Enter the narrow gate. In John 10, we read, I am the gate, Jesus says. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Saved from what? The wide road that leads to destruction. That's packed with people. And I'll go out and find, and you'll go out and you'll find pasture. You'll find life. And so, that is how we got to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is saying these startling words. Enter by the narrow gate, verse 13. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate. He says, I am the gate. That's how we got there. Everyone with me? Everyone with me? Is that a nod? Yeah, you're with me? All right, very good. Proverbs 14:6 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right to man. Again, any of you who've lived on a college dorm, any of you who've been out in the workforce, any of you who spend any amount of time in a subway or in a public place at a ball game or whatever, it's obvious that there is a way that seems right to man, and that road, it's a wide road, and it's packed with people. However, the God man came to destroy death. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, Christ Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Gospel means good news. Good news is, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out, and they will find pasture. So let's continue. Verse 15, Jesus says next, beware of false prophets. You can read with me. Verses 15, beware of false prophets. Okay, why does he go immediately into that? We'll talk about that. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning sheep is generally a word that is used for the body of Christ, for the flock of God. They come to you looking like they're a Christian, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, meaning wolves ready to destroy you. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And so here, Jesus goes, he says, again, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. But then he goes immediately, but beware of false prophets. Beware. 1 John 4:1, I love this verse when in this this particular context here. Beloved, by the way, that's you. Do you know you're beloved? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that that's a name that God has for you? You're loved. You're beloved. And for that reason, he tells you this right here. Do not believe every spirit, Calvary Chapel. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And that's what Jesus is saying. Same thing in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets. Test what they are saying. But why is Jesus bringing this up now? Why now? Why is he saying beware of false prophets? Anyone want to shout it out? Oh, snowy day. I'm so happy you're here. You came. Anyone want to shout it out? Why does Jesus all of a sudden go here? Beware of false prophets. Oh, who said that? All right. Very good. It's the projection guy. Did you see my notes? Okay. He didn't see my notes. Now, John really knows his Bible. He seriously does. Jesus is bringing this up, beware of false prophets, because remember what he just said. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way, wide is the road that leads to destruction. The reason he says, beware of false prophets, is that in the verses immediately after those verses, where he says, wide is the road that leads to destruction. That's what false prophets do. They say precisely the opposite of what he says in verses 13 and 14. Now, Jesus is saying, narrow is the gate, wide is the road that leads to destruction. False prophets say exactly the opposite. As John says in 1 John 4:1, he says, many false prophets go out. They say the exact opposite. They say, enter in by the wide gate. Wide is the road that leads to heaven. Everyone's going. And narrow is the road that leads to destruction. Never believe it. Jesus never said that. Jesus says, narrow is the gate. Wide is the enter by the narrow gate, rather. Wide is the gate and broad is the road. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Here is a verse from Jeremiah 23. This is Jeremiah 23, 17. It says, the false prophets, and false prophets are just always like this. there's different flavors. But the reason Jesus brings it up here in Matthew 7, it's the same reason Jeremiah brought it up in, I don't have the reference there in English and Spanish. It is Jeremias 23:17. False prophets say continually to those who despise the word of God. You guys following this? False prophets say continually to those who despise the word of God, it'll be well with you. And to everyone who follows his own heart, they say, no disaster. Shall come upon you. Now, I will tell you that the wide road that is packed with people is loaded with people who, as the end of the verse, they're just following their own heart. Earlier on in the verse, it says they despise the word of God. They know the word of God, but somehow, you know, it was written by men or whatever. Whatever the argument is, where God is a God of love and it just trumps everything else in the Bible. And so they despise really what the word of God, but the false prophet says, no, it'll be well with you. It'll be well with you. And even though they follow their own heart, they say no disaster shall be upon you, come upon you. And the reason this is so serious is because Jesus says there's many on this wide road. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions. And there's a word that goes out every Sunday, every Friday, every Saturday. And it's like, don't worry about that. Don't worry that you're following your own heart. No disaster shall come upon you. So Jesus says, listen, beware of false prophets. Beware. Beware of those who are saying no such thing as wide is the road that leads to heaven. You know, God is love. He's not like that. He doesn't send people to destruction. Do whatever you feel in your heart you should do. Nothing bad will happen to you. Yes, I know the Bible says what it says, but God is love. He will support you in whatever life you choose. Wide is the road that leads to heaven. Jesus is saying, beware of people who say such things. God is serious about his holiness, Calvary Chapel. He's serious about his word. In chapter 6 of Matthew, we read Jesus saying what? God, the Father, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say the opposite. Your will be done on earth as it is on earth. That's not what it says. And that is the false prophetic word. Beware of false prophets. Jeremiah 23 goes on to say, this is God speaking, by the way, I am against the prophets who speak their own words, but they say, here is what the Lord says. People who say, no, God told me, God gave me this word, and this is what he says. He says, beware, listen, Calvary Chapel, just because you see someone on their internet or behind a pulpit like this who says, God has spoken to me, doesn't mean you should believe them. You need to test what they say with the word of God. But Jesus adds something here, doesn't he, right? He says, test them with the word of God. What else? You will know them by their fruit. You need to look at the fruit of their ministry. Again, he says in verse 16, you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So what does good fruit look like? What does good fruit look like? Someone shout it out. There's one word. It's a person's name. Jesus. Good fruit looks like Jesus Christ. Now, if you're like me, you need a little help sometimes. What does Jesus look like? You don't have to go there. But I got to tell you, I love Romans chapter 12. It's one of the most beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ you'll ever see. And you and I will fall short in every way, but you will grow in it. You'll grow in this chapter. A man or woman who looks like, feels like, acts like, sounds like, tastes like Jesus Christ, it says of them in Romans 12:1, they will present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. It's Romans 12:1. Verse 2 says, they will not, a person who looks like, feels like, acts like, sounds like, tastes like Jesus Christ, the life of God, it says they're not going to be conformed to the world. They're not going to just be doing whatever their heart, whatever women fancy. One of the most recent popular opinion is, no, but it says they will be transformed by the word of God. Verse 9 says, person who looks like, acts like, feels like, behaves like Jesus Christ, Romans 12:9 says they'll abhor, will hate what is evil. And they'll cling to what is good. Verse 11 says they will not lag in diligence. They'll be fervent in spirit serving the Lord, meaning they won't be lazy when it comes to the things of God. They will be serving God with diligence. Fervent, meaning full of the Spirit, serving the Lord, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, meaning when there is a tribulation, when there is a pandemic, when there is a death in the family or a relationship that's broken, they'll be patient in tribulation. It goes on, continuing steadfastly in prayer. They will repay no one evil for evil, but they will have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Another translation, so they'll be careful to do what is right in the eyes of all men. What's good fruit looks like? It looks like Jesus. What does Jesus look like? Verse 21, last verse of Romans 12 says, he wasn't overcome by evil, but he overcame evil with good. False prophets, by their fruits you will know them. They won't have anything like that. The people coming out of their ministry will have an anemic, cowardly, shameful faith, their lives will be characterized by disobedience to the Word of God, by a lack of courage, by a lack of self-control. You will know them by their fruits. So let's go on. Verse 21, Jesus continues, "Beware false prophets." Listen, I just told you, wide is the road that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. Beware the false prophets who will tell you the exact opposite. And then he says in verse 21, he doesn't let up. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, meaning just because someone calls Jesus Christ their Lord, does not mean that they're going to heaven. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm not making this stuff up. He's saying this right here in verse 21. But rather, the person that enters the kingdom of heaven will do the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord." Now, when he says that day, speaking of the day of judgment, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it was appointed to man to die one time, and then comes the judgment. And Jesus says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." What is lawlessness? Lawlessness is, I know you're God, and you want to run the world in a certain way, but I'm going to run it in the way I want. That's lawlessness. Jesus says, many will say to him, "Lord, Lord," in that day. He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So that is what those who fall off into eternity, off the wide road that leads to destruction, what do those who enter the narrow gate and are on the narrow road, what do they hear? What do they hear? What? That's right. Very good. There he is. This. You're going to hear this. You who are joined to Jesus Christ, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's what you're going to hear. Let's continue. Jesus concludes his most famous sermon, verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Luke, the parallel passage in Luke, says this. It says, "And the ruin, the destruction of that house was great." So Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like the man builds his home on a rock. What does that mean? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. What is he talking about there? Well, too often, please stay with me. This is very important. When you hear these verses taught, whoever hears these sayings of mine is likened to him, a wise man who built his house on a rock. Too often, when you hear these verses taught, the rain, the floods, the wind, they refer to the trials of life. And if you live your life by what Jesus taught in the sermon, you will stay strong in the trial. Well, now, there's some truth to that, but that's not what he's talking about. There certainly is truth, I think, of the pandemic, for example, and how that great trial really showed where people were in their Christian faith. Oh, how true it was. We saw that with God's people, what they were really made of, were they made of love, faith, and self-control, or were they made of fear, anger, and self? Some stayed strong. Others, their whole witness for God came crashing down during that time. Others shine like stars, like Philippians chapter 2 talks about. But that's not what these verses are about supremely. They're not. Why do I say that? Well, why did Jesus come to earth? Did he come to make good people better? Did he come to make bad people less bad? Please answer right. No, that's not why Jesus came. 2 Timothy 1:10 says Jesus Christ came. Why? He destroyed death, and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ came to destroy death. And then, of course, John 3:16, why did Jesus come? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. He came to save people from the wide road that leads to destruction. That's why Jesus came. Luke 19:10 says this, the Son of Man, this is Jesus speaking. You wonder why Jesus came? Here's what it is from his own lips. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Save from what? From the wide road that leads to hell. That's why he talked about it more than anybody else. Because he knew full well the reality of it. And he ends his most famous sermon not only once saying, enter the narrow gate, I'm the gate, but he more or less what he's doing, he's repeating the same thing in verses 24 through 27 here. He's repeating the same thing. In verse 25, when Jesus says the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, question for you, I know I'm at the end of my sermon, but you're really going to encourage me when you answer this question, right? What does that language remind you of? Any language we've already read today? The rain descended, the flood came, and the winds blew? That's right. The flood of judgment, the flood waters of judgment. That's what he's talking about in these closing verses of his most famous sermon, Genesis 6 again. What did it say way back in Genesis 6? After the people were on the wide road that leads to destruction, God said, behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under him all flesh, which is in the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But interestingly enough, it says in Genesis 7, it says this, these extraordinary words, where it says, they, Noah and his family, they went into the ark, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord saved him. So, what is the life that is built upon the rock? It is the life that has entered the narrow gate and is now shut in with the Lord. Colossians 3:3 says, you died. This is speaking of a person who has built their life on the rock. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Noah was hidden in the ark. Someone who has entered the narrow gate is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them has a life built on the rock. Built on the rock. Again, it says, here in verse 21, it says, the wise man built his house on the rock, there in verse 24. Interestingly, in Luke chapter 6, the parallel passage in Luke, Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking in Luke, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. And laid the foundation on the rock. Have you entered the narrow gate? Jesus says, the way to enter the narrow gate is you dig deep. What does that mean? It means this. When a person hears the gospel that Jesus Christ, the least deserving person who ever lived for this to happen to, came to this world and he was beaten beyond recognition for you. The Bible says in Isaiah 52 and 53, he was beaten so bad that when people looked at him, they turned their face away. A person who has dug deep, who has entered the narrow gate, is the person who they their heart just rips open deep and they say, Lord, I can't believe my sin did that to you. I love you. Please come into my life. Forgive me for being this person who during my life, I know you're God. I know you want me to do things the way you wanted, but I've said, no, I'm going to do the things the way that I wanted. No, Lord, I see now. I see you on the cross. I see you hanging there. I see your naked body that's in the pitch black. I hear your groaning. I hear you saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's someone who's dug deep. Can I have Luke again? Verse 6. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you who he's like. He's like the man building his house who dug deep. We're going to get to, later on in Matthew, about the four soils. If you can just leave this up, John. Actually, if the worship team could come up at this time, if you've been asked to pray, if you could come up. But later on in Matthew, we read about the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the soils. There's four different kinds of soils. And they're the four examples of what happens when people hear a message like this about the cross of Jesus Christ. Some of them, it says, it'll just fall on rock and the birds will come around and will just take the seed away. And others, it'll fall like on soil that's just very shallow and it'll sprout up. But when the trials of life come around, It'll go away. And others, it says that something will sprout out, but the worries or the cares of the world will get around the plants and the plants will die. But the fourth one, it says it, falls on good soil. The seed, Jesus Christ dying for you. And they realize, I can't believe I've wasted my whole life. I can't, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I was a couple years ago with a man, 80 years he had lived his life, a waste like that. But his heart opened up, and man, that word went deep. He dug deep. They dug deep, and they build their foundation on the rock. Jesus repeats two times the same thing. Why? Because he came to save what was lost. If you could rise now for a closing worship song. Towards the end of this most famous sermon, he says, wide is the road that leads to destruction. Get off of it and enter the narrow gate. And then he just goes and repeats himself and says, dig deep. Tear your heart open deep. That soil of your heart, dig it up so I can put in the Word of God. The Bible says, at that point, that you open up your heart like that, that you dig up that soil and dig it deep, it says the Holy Spirit invades, takes possession, and never leaves. You're saved for all eternity. Your eyes will open. Your mind opens. And you can live what you were born for, which is to live for the Lord. So this closing worship song, if there's anything that is stirred in your heart that you'd like to pray about, we're up here to pray. If you're watching through live stream today, and I know a lot are, prayed for you this morning. You have the Lord with you. Pray to the Lord. Let's pray to him. Perhaps you are thinking, I don't know how deeply my heart was dug up. When I first prayed to have Jesus Christ come into my life. Come up, we can pray about that. Or perhaps you know full well you're here today. And you know full well that spiritual DNA that every person comes out of their mother's womb with, which I know you're God, I know you want things run a certain way, but I'm going to run things my way. And you just like to cross over from death to life, because that life is death. You want to cross over from death to life. Come on up. If you have anything else you want to pray about, come up as we sing this closing worship song. Father, thank you for this time. I pray in the name of Jesus that you do your holy work in our lives. Lord, I pray that for myself, for everyone in here. You continue your business with us. In Jesus' name, amen.